is weird, odd, strange, or just plain bizarre is really your cup of tea, then the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast will give you that fix. Can't believe it? Well, listen for yourself as we deliver the strangest news you definitely won't find on CNN or Fox. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the GSMC Weird News Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
And our first story sounds... I seriously thought this was like an Onion article when I first saw it, just because it's like, no, it's not. In that Japan is facing a ninja shortage.
When I opened the notes for this episode, I just busted out laughing because you're right. It does sound like an Onion article.
So it's, yeah. And that's a little misleading. It's not Japan. Well, actually, it might be Japan entirely. Because you imagine if it's happening in this place, it must be like all over Japan. In that, in the city of Iga, I'm going to pronounce it Iga instead of Iga. Iga claims to be the birthplace of the ninja. Mm-hmm. But it's having trouble finding ninjas to be ninjas in Iga, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Okay, so people don't want to go there, or they just, I mean, why is there a shortage?
So Japan, for a number of years, has had the whole thing about the aging population and not having enough young people, and I don't understand all that demographics-wise, but when they do have young people, they don't want to stay in rural places. They want to go to cities.
Sure.
And Iga is out in the countryside. I think it's about an hour away from Tokyo, I read. Mm-hmm. So its population is kind of shrinking, dwindling away. But it often, it plays off of being the birthplace of ninjaism.
Ninjaism?
Is that a word? So that's part of the tourism for the town is people coming to, you know, see ninjas and learn about ninjas. They have a whole ninja festival every year between late April and beginning of May. But in order to do that, you actually have to have ninjas there, because otherwise,
sure.
I mean, let's go to the ninja festival to see nothing.
What does it take to become a ninja? Do you have to be an actual ninja? Can you be an actor pretending to be a ninja? What's the requirement? Can I go be a ninja?
I mean, maybe. So
my blue eyes might give it away, but yeah, I think, you know.
Just have them all, you know, covered up. Be the ninja that never shows its face.
Or
and
contacts.
Doesn't speak.
Yeah, exactly.
The silent, quiet ninja, as you should be as a ninja. But no, so it is performers. It's not, you're not being hired to go kill somebody. I don't think.
Hopefully not.
Yeah.
Awkward.
But, right? Well, I mean,
I feel like they would get fewer tourists if that were the case.
Is it that one? Oh, I know this is a movie now where you think you're hired to be the fake something and then it's actually the real whatever. And now I can't think of what it is.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
But anyways, they're offering up to $85,000, American dollars. So I'm not sure what the actual number is in Japan, but that's what its equivalent is. Two people to be ninja performers because there's such a shortage because young people don't want to stay there.
I still want to go be a ninja now.
Right?
Yes.
Except I'd actually probably suck at being a ninja. I can't like sneak well at all. I have no sneaking skills.
You wouldn't have, I mean, I don't know what the job requirements are. Do you have to sneak? Maybe you could just learn how to use weapons, you know, or.
Well, so there is some training involved, though again, you're not being trained to be an actual assassin.
Right.
I don't think I could totally be wrong.
Right.
This would be like the best cover ever. Yeah. If you were actually training people to be ninjas. No, this is just for
just
performing.
The ninja festival, that's right.
They're just really, really good performers.
Wait a minute. I think there's a conspiracy going on here.
Right. Best cover ever. So it is ninja performers, but I think you do learn like how to throw a throwing star and all that. And you interact with people who come to the ninja festival, and I guess it's a bit like the living history, where people who pretend to be from, you know, colonial days and actually, like, stay in those houses and cook over a fire and churn butter and whatever.
Right.
Sort of that sort of thing of inhabit the character, be the character.
Method acting.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a little shocked at this just because it's like, okay, fine. I also probably don't want to live out in the middle of rural Farmville, but $85,000 to be a ninja sounds like a really awesome deal.
That's okay to me. I grew up in rural Farmville. I'm okay with it, except, you know, that I don't speak Japanese.
You're a ninja. You shouldn't be speaking at all.
Oh, good call. But how am I going to learn to be a ninja if I can't understand what they're telling me? They're going to have to act everything out.
They will, yeah. Okay. And if someone, like, asks you directions, you would just, you know, bow and walk away silently.
It'll be like mime ninja school for me because there will be right. No speaking.
That ninja seems a little snooty and or crazy dangerous, and I don't want to ask them for directions again. So let's go to that one who's actually kind of smiling.
Yes.
Exactly. It would be exactly like that. Totally. But Japan has been on my mind for a number. It keeps coming up for, like, the, of reasons. Mm. That's an adjective because I say so.
Of course.
The hunst. So
what else?
So Japan evidently has the longest running family business or family hotel.
Oh,
it is both, but I'm not sure which one they're saying it's the longest running for, being a family business or being the longest running hotel.
Wow, how long?
Since 705 AD.
Dang!
This has gone through 52 generations.
Is it the same structure?
I don't think so.
I mean, it's got to have been rebuilt, but...
But it's a hotel around a hot spring, which has an actual word in Japanese that I don't know.
Right.
But it's a thing that they do in Japan where, you know, you go and visit the hot springs, and this is that building near that that's set up solely for people coming to visit the hot springs and has been run by the same family since 705 AD.
That's impressive.
I can't even imagine, like, even just being... Same family since like 1800 something.
Right.
Like if you were past the past century, oh my gosh, the 70, you were past like the past millennium.
Almost. That is impressive.
Yeah. And you have a generation for every week of the year. You really, I feel that family needs to have like a huge major celebration all year long.
Yeah.
Like way Disney does for whatever anniversary.
They've done studies and most people can't even name like their great, great grandparents. Just, you know, once you get past a certain generation. I wonder if they must have really good records. I'm sure they've kept track of stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe not, but that's, wow. Yeah.
And there was a picture of it from either the early 1900s or the late 1800s where it looks like they're sort of standing in front of a tent. Whereas you see the hotel now, it's several stories. So clearly that's not the same structure.
Sure, right.
But yeah, that's amazing. But Japan also has, I don't even know how to, pretty manhole covers.
Oh, really?
So... What it is evidently each neighborhood is allowed to, like, personalize their manhole covers.
Nice.
And so the designs are, like, representative of each neighborhood, and they're nice and pretty and colorful. And I'm just like, America, why don't you do this? Same thing with our money. Like, our money is so annoyingly boring and monocolor. And I'm just like, look at, like, Tahiti's money. That is beautiful. What are we doing?
Like, the manhole covers are very lovely.
They're so pretty. Like... I mean, I kind of feel maybe they might get stolen if they were here and actually pretty looking. And maybe that's why they're just boring and black.
Maybe.
But I'm just like, why don't we do that here where, you know, just regular mundane things that you don't even think of are made to look pretty? Just, we're so boring here. And also in Japan, because again, just been on my mind. I keep seeing all these random things about Japan in the past
week. Apparently Japan is trying to tell you something.
It is to make my life pretty. I am sure that's what it is, because they also do rice paddy art.
Ooh.
I
looking that up
just
now.
I don't even know. It's like the Nazca lines in Peru. I don't even know, like, how you can think to plan that ahead, because I'm not a big spatial thinker.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, I would be the person planting the rice. Just tell me where to plant this color and that color, because I cannot plan it out. I cannot think that big.
It's like the other day, not on this podcast, but on another podcast, where we were talking about making maps. Uh-huh. Like actually walking and making maps. This feels the same thing.
But another podcast, yeah.
Another podcast. This feels the same because, again, if I'm above it, I can see it, but I don't know how to do it.
While
I'm
down there planting, I have to make sure that this color only goes 55 feet at this angle. Like, what?
Right.
I would need someone to be, like, up on the really tall platform yelling through a bullhorn at me. No, go a little more to your left. No, your other left. Like, tell me where to plant this, because I can't. But it's really pretty. And again, I'm so upset that we don't do pretty things for no reason here.
Do crop circles count?
See, that was my fear. I was like, oh man, we should so do that here. That would be great. And then I was like, wait, but this is, you know, where people will put crop circles in people's crops just because.
Right.
And so they'd ruin it somehow. I
and
know
these
they
aren't
would.
Crop circles, because they haven't, you know, crop circles, in theory, are made by, like, you know, taking out part of the field.
Right.
This is different colors of whatever they're growing.
Rice. Different colors of rice.
Oh, rice. It's rice paddy. Duh.
But I mean, A, I didn't know there was different colors of rice. I knew there were different types of rice, but I didn't know, like, the plant itself was a different color. Because I don't think I actually fully understand what a rice plant is. Is it a seed? Or where does the rice come? The little white thing in this planted thing in wet water and mud. Where does that white thing come from?
I think of the wet and the water and, right. and that, but I can't actually really picture a rice plant now that you say that.
Right? I don't know where my food comes from. But I also don't cook it, so.
Get stuck on the water and don't actually look at the plant.
Yeah. I am like 20 degrees separated from understanding my food. Just terrible. But I'm just like, it feels like we just, if it's like something to you would see every day that we're just like, oh, what's the point? And I'm just like, but look, it's pretty. Wouldn't that brighten up your day if you like saw that outside of like a bus window or something?
Yeah, it would brighten up my day.
And you could actually put like, you know.
I can't speak for you, but.
Nice messages in it, like have a good day in rice.
Right.
Oh, that would be so much fun. Japan, good job. On multiple levels.
Rice,
good job.
Just a grain. Looks like a grain.
I still don't see where the rice comes from.
Well, it's probably that little thing right there, but then I don't know what you do to it to get it to be.
Yeah. We're looking at
the kind of rice that we get in the grocery store.
Yeah, we're very confused agriculturally. So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSNC Weird News Podcast. So, did I talk? I talked about with you on the movie podcast for Jurassic World because I was very much let the dinos die.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, let the dinos die. Or at least all the carnivores. Anyways,
right.
Totally off topic, but let the dinos die. But in celebration, not of Jurassic World, but of the fact that Jurassic Park is 25 years old,
thanks.
Someone. You feel old?
Yeah, I was going to say, thanks for making all of us feel old.
I was a child, so I didn't see it till it was on TV, and it scared me, but I've seen it enough times now that I'm good.
I still haven't seen it.
The first one?
Yeah.
The first Jurassic Park.
Any of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to do with that.
I don't know why. It's not like, I mean, I like dinosaurs, but I've just never seen them. Bits and pieces here and there when they're on TV.
Watch the first one, just because it is actually really good. Then don't watch the other ones unless you're one of those people who likes to watch things ironically almost.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. But, so in honor of the 25th anniversary of Jurassic Park, a group erected a giant statue of Jeff Goldblum. And this is like a very specific Jeff Goldblum because there are multiple Jeff Goldblums.
I saw it. It's awful.
It's not the best statue, but I do just love the fact that someone was like, you know what we need is a 25-foot Jeff Goldblum in London. We're so missing that.
It's the color scheme. Like, it's so, like, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. If you haven't seen it, go Google it. Because
really, yeah. But I love the fact that they took it from the shirtless scene. Well, not the shirtless. The open shirt scene from Jurassic Park. Because even in the movie, it's just like, no, but wait, why are you? Is your shirt open? Like, that's just kind of for no reason, but whatever. Go ahead.
And the face, I mean, you can tell it's Jeff Goldblum, but it's you know, sometimes like when they unveil like wax replicas
and it doesn't
of people,
look,
and you're like, ugh,
yeah,
that's what this is. It's Jeff Goldblum, but not.
But to be fair, they're, you know, blowing Jeff Goldblum up to a giant size. But I love this more so than anything else for how random it is. because it's not clear why they decided to erect it here. The movie was not shot in London. No. Jeff Goldblum is not from London.
No.
It's just like, you know what? That bridge in the back, that makes for a nice picture, but you know what would make it even better? Giant open-shirted Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
My favorite picture is the one that shows several people sitting in chairs in front of the statue, so you get like some really good, you can get some really good perspective on the side.
Yeah.
Because he is huge. I mean, I don't even want to know how big his nipple is on a 25-foot statue. That thing could poke your eye out.
Well, the thing, my favorite pictures are the one where people are sort of like leaning on his stomach.
Yes.
Because someone took the shot from the movie and superimposed the shot where the other guy, and I've totally just forgotten his name, is leaning on a triceratops that's laying down. And so he's leaning on the triceratops' belly and it breathes in and out. And so he goes up and down, and someone transposed that to make it look like Jeff Goldblum was breathing and he was going up and down. And I was just like, I am way too entranced by this because I feel like I could sit and stare at this for several minutes. And I'm not sure why, but I've got stuff to do. I really shouldn't.
Has Jeff Goldblum commented on his statue?
I don't know if he's commented. I know he's aware of it, but I don't remember, you know, if he said anything specifically
about
it.
He has to be aware of it. I mean, every person on the planet who knows him and has contact with him had to have sent him pictures when it, when it was unveiled.
Jeff Goldblum is one of those people who's becoming like just a living meme,
yes,
sort of. Like anything he does, he's becoming, I'm just like, I don't know what to do with you. This is reality? Are you sure? Because this feels like you're doing it on purpose, and yet I think you're not actually doing anything, and yet it's amazing.
Right.
It's just so... And I think... Oh, so I think maybe it was erected here because there's some famous interview he gave from that spot.
Oh,
I saw it, but I didn't listen to it, so I don't know what exactly was said and why that interview is so well-known. But it is an interview, him standing in front of some other giant thing on that spot.
Oh, so it is, maybe
it's the Jeff Goldblum spot.
Ironic. Yeah.
There really needs to be like a plaque or something. On this spot, Jeff Goldblum stood in front of giant thing and giant Jeff Goldblum was here. Like just marking all the Jeff Goldblum moments.
But, you know, when I think Tower Bridge, the first thing that I don't think of
is giant Jeff, anyone giant in Jeff front of Goldblum. Me.
Yeah, exactly. Unless it's like... I don't even know who, somebody British.
I mean, if I had been there at the time, I would have taken a picture with nobody else in it, and that I would have made that into postcards, and that would have been my like Christmas card, birthday card, everything card for a few years, just because it's so what? That it's like, isn't it wonderful?
I mean, I kind of want to put on a Christmas hat and now go make those my, you know,
right?
My Christmas cards.
Or Jeff Goldblum's. Those should really be Jeff Goldblum's Christmas cards.
Well, yeah, that too.
Mr. Goldblum, if you're listening, you're welcome for that idea.
Welcome.
To switch stories a little bit.
And it is temporary, just, you know, to put that out there in case people are wondering.
Yeah, I don't know exactly if they got, like, permission, but it was there for a while, so it wasn't like, oh, we're going to take this down, that's terrible. But, yeah, it just... Bravo to whoever.
I wonder where the 25-foot statue of Jeff Goldblum goes next. It should travel. It should show up in front of the Eiffel Tower.
And
it
the pyramids in Pisa.
Yes.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
I think people out there in the world, whoever's in charge of the giant Jeff Goldblum statue, get on that.
Really, though, and start like a crowdfunding source, because I bet you could get the money.
Oh, I don't think it's... yeah.
To do that. Yes. Oh, that would be great. But anyways, to switch stories a little... There was in San Antonio, and this actually feels so much like a movie because this is almost essentially a Natalie Portman movie. This is where the heart is, almost essentially, in that a baby was born in a San Antonio Chick-fil-A bathroom.
Was she living in the Chick-fil-A like Natalie Portman?
No, she wasn't.
It wasn't a Walmart, but
It was a Walmart.
Was it an actual Walmart or was it like a fake Walmart?
No, because I think they call her the Walmart baby throughout the movie.
I couldn't remember if it was an actual Walmart.
That is an interesting movie. I like it, but I also don't know what to make of it. It's
the book is better, of course.
Of course. But so anyways, no, the parents evidently really like Chick-fil-A, and they pulled over, and the mother went in to use the bathroom, but she evidently knew she was in labor already, so I'm like...
Were they on the way to the hospital when they pulled over? Like, hey, pull over, let's have some Chick-fil-A before I give birth.
It wasn't clear, and I'm just like... I've never given birth, and maybe, you know, if this isn't her first kid, she's cool about it. But I'm like, I'm not going to the bathroom if I'm in labor. I'd be afraid I'd, like, have the baby in the bathroom, in the toilet.
Well, I mean...
It's like, why are you going into the bathroom?
I mean, having never given birth, but I would assume that you can feel a baby's head coming out at some point. point.
I think it was just, you know, it went faster than they expected, and oh, hey, we can't really move her. So the baby was born in the Chick-fil-A bathroom, and I can imagine how that kid's going to feel about that story when they get older.
Yes.
But Chick-fil-A, again, I love it when companies are like, you know what? Let's run with that. Exactly. It's great. Has given this baby Chick-fil-A for life and a job when she turns 14.
Whether she wants it or not.
You must come
here. Work
here. No. Yeah, I mean, you are ours. And I guess the age for working in San Antonio is 14.
14.
That number threw me off. I was like, because it's 16 here. I'm just like, okay. Interesting. But yeah, so I mean, I'm like, yes, that's the minimum you could do, I guess, if you had the baby one in the bathroom.
Chick-fil-A for life. I wonder what that looks like. I mean, like, do they have... I don't know. Chick-fil-A for life. Just eat there all the time.
Well, I mean, because, you know, Chick-fil-A tries to do everything. They have chicken for breakfast and lots of different types. My sister really likes Chick-fil-A. Really. And especially, like, their sauces for something.
Huh. I haven't been there in a long time.
I got the little chicken nuggets, and I didn't actually want a sauce. And she was like, oh, no, no, no. She does. She wants the... And I can't remember.
And then she put it in her purse, didn't she?
Right. Because we were there together, and I was like, okay, so evidently I want that sauce. Please give me that sauce, to the person taking my order. I was like, geez, are you kidding? My sister feels very strongly about sauces. She also really likes the Round Table Ranch.
Oh, that's right. You told me that. Yes. She's got, yeah.
Very strongly about sauces, evidently.
I'm intrigued by, I would just like to open her refrigerator and see if she has real condiments or if it's just little tiny things from
It's probably little tiny things and lots of cheese. Mm. I know, because I know there's lots of cheese right now.
Interesting.
Sorry, sis. But anyways, yeah, so I just, the story boggles my mind, but again, it feels so much like the Natalie Portman movie that when I first saw it, I was like, is this like a we're Mad Libbing movie plots or something? Like, fill in here, and it feels very similar, but it's not.
Do we know what they named the baby? Because I feel like there should be some kind of a theme name.
How would you name
a Chick-fil-A
baby? I don't
know. I'd have to figure it out, but...
Philomena?
I mean, you could at least call her Little Nugget.
No, she had that. There was a picture of the baby, and it was in a onesie that said Little Nugget or something.
I mean, you know, you maybe don't name her that, but she got a
That's
silly
a
nickname.
Yeah. Oh, she's going to grow up all the time. She's just look at my little story. Nugget. Wasn't she so cute? Mom.
Please stop telling that story.
Right.
Please.
It was not bad enough. You had me in a bathroom. Now you have to repeat it to everyone.
Oh,
seriously.
Gosh, I hope. I have so many thoughts right now. First off, my first thought was bathrooms, not always the cleanest.
Right.
Depends on when it, you know, so not the most hygienic place to give birth. Also, the person who then has to go in and clean up after baby is born. I mean, geez, there's just so much to.
Oh, wow.
I have too many thoughts.
Yeah. So while Sarah attempts to clear out her thoughts, clean up her thoughts, organize her thoughts, something to the thoughts, we're going to take another short break. Stay tuned.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC, Invicta FC, Bellator, and ONE Championship, we got the fights covered. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Weird News Podcast. So my grad school, very interesting. It had a program that was Eastern literature.
Mm-hmm.
And in like honor of that or something, it had a pond where it put koi fish.
Okay.
But they had to work with the koi fish because evidently somewhere around there was a raccoon that would come and eat the koi fish.
Oh, no.
Because I guess raccoons do that. So I actually kind of like the story, but at the same time, it makes me feel like the made-for-TV version of Megalodon or something, in that a German city is trying to get rid of a catfish in a pond because the catfish eats ducklings. Mm-hmm. and other fish. So
I'm okay with it eating the other fish, but the ducklings make me sad.
How does
I don't know. They're ducklings. They're cute.
Again, I'm thinking of like the trailer for Megalodon where it's coming up from the bottom to swallow whatever.
Right.
But you know, this would be almost like the, oh, I want to make my own version of Megalodon for YouTube at home in my backyard. So right. I'm going to film the catfish eating the duckling. Please don't actually eat the duckling, but it feels that way. So, right.
But you, now your notes say that this is a 4.9 foot fish.
Yes.
So I actually, I don't want it to be the case, but you'd think it would eat bigger things than just ducklings.
Well, I just kind of imagine that everything else is not on the lake.
Right. But yeah.
I mean, pond. Because it ate all the other fish first.
Oh, okay.
And then, since there was no other fish to eat, moved on to ducklings because they were there and swimming, you know, blindly and didn't know what was coming upon them. I've never seen any shark movie and I have no desire to, but I'm just now thinking of Jaws and having the music in my head, but with a catfish. And
I'm just thinking of that children's song about the ducklings who go out to play and only four little ducklings come waddling back. And then, you know, it's a counting song. It's because they're being eaten
by a catfish, by a giant catfish. That's exactly what it is. It's like not telling children Santa isn't real. It's the things we keep to ourselves. Right. The children don't need to know just yet. Yeah, so this, I don't quite, how did it get this big of a problem
or something? How did it get that big in the first place?
Well, I mean, eating all the other fish.
That's true. And how big is the pond?
Big fish, small pond?
Yeah.
I mean, literally,
I'm picturing a tiny little pond. Not tiny, but.
I mean, it's got to be big enough to support enough fish for it to eat to get to nearly 5 feet long. Like, that fish is almost as tall as me.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
It's only an inch taller than my nephew. Look out, nephew.
For a catfish. Like, I eat catfish, and that's just, you know, it's a strange little filet thing that gets tossed in cornmeal in the fried. Right. It's not a giant fish the size of me. That's not how that works.
That's not how that works, but yeah. I mean, and now that it's eaten all the fish and all the ducklings, what is it eating now?
Right? And I'm wondering if the fear is like maybe it will start to eat a child if a child got too close.
Oh,
trying to feed the non-existent ducklings or...
Yeah, please fence off that pond until you get that fish out of there.
And continuing with the clearly I'm not the best for like, you know, animal societies or whatever and let the dinos die. I'm a little surprised that the plan for this catfish is to catch it so they can put it somewhere else. I'm just like a fish duckling eating catfish.
Right.
Why are you just.
Well, it says it's being moved into a private pond. So I'm wondering if it's somebody that really wants this giant catfish as a conversation piece. But then
maybe.
They'll feed it. But don't let anything land on that pond.
See, again, because I'm now thinking of Jaws and Megalodon. That is a horror film waiting to happen.
Yes.
I think I can control the giant catfish and I can't.
Until one day in the summer, you've got family visiting and the toddler toddles down the hill to the pond.
Right.
Oh,
just trail your fingers in the water because you think it's fine and nothing will happen. And it comes out and chomp.
And there's scary music happening in the background.
Of course there is. Yeah. So the city did talk to a professional angler. And are there professional anglers for catfish? I know you maybe catch sharks or something. The coworkers that keep at my office keep talking about it, but I kind of tune them out because I don't know anything about fishing. I went one time and did not catch anything, so I'm done. So they're talking about like
fishing gold numerous bobbins. Times, but I don't know if there's professional, like specifically catfish professional.
Well, catfish, maybe. Catfish fishers.
There's all those
catfishers.
Those fishing shows. I should have paid more attention when I didn't watch them.
But wait, are there cat shows? Because I now want there to be.
I'm sure there are cat shows, but.
Oh.
Yeah.
So sad. But yeah, so the plan they've talked to, but not like set up an official contract or deal or whatever. But this angler will catch the catfish and then it'll be transferred to a private pond where it hopefully cannot eat. What will you feed it, though?
Well, yeah, that's the question. What will you feed it?
If it's gotten a taste for other fish and ducklings, like, it might not be satisfied with anything else. I'm trying to envision eating the duckling. Like, you have to come up to the water, to the surface for that and swallow it in one gulp, or how does that?
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yes, I just Googled it, and there are professional cat fishermen.
Wow.
It's one word, cat fisherman.
I still want it to be catfisher.
Yeah.
Although that makes me think of cats, so that's probably why. Catfishers. Wouldn't that be great? Bring in a giant cat. No, don't bring in a giant cat. That is a terrible idea. I did not say
and
that.
And yet also sounds like the a really bad movie plot.
Oh, most definitely. Absolutely. I'm pretty sure I've seen that movie or something very similar of, oh, hey, I can't control this, you know, out of control beast. Let me bring in this other beast because nothing could possibly go wrong a second time.
Sounds logical. Yeah.
It's movie logic and therefore nothing is wrong with it because it makes millions of dollars and so it must be correct.
Excellent.
My logic train is completely off the tracks. So on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Weird News Podcast.